going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
I hope that the Cubs smack the ever-loving tar out of the ball.
Should we reveal what we're going to do? I think we should do the dollar bet. I think the Tigers are going to win the series.
You want this action? You can get this action.
I can do both. I'll do $2. I can do
$3. $2 each.
I'm in on this.
That makes it twice as important as our dollar bet.
I will pay the $6. That's how confident I am.
The 1-2. Fly ball, right field. Pretty well hit, but Carpenter going back. Still going. And Carpenter makes a leaping catch up against the wall.
Big catch in right field.
Ground ball toward the middle, gloving it as Baez throws to first. Ball game over. Detroit wins game one. Fly ball deep left field. This ball is going to be gone. A line drive home run to left for Seiya Suzuki.
Michael Busch hits one deep to right. Forget about it.
That ball is gone for a home run. Pete Crow Armstrong with his 17th home run.
The runner's out.
The Cubs win the ball game.
Strike three. Horner does not like the call, and Nico's just been thrown out of the game. And now Council has just been thrown out of the game, and he's letting him have it now.
Fly ball, shallow left. This game and this series is over. And the Tigers win 2 out of 3.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It is a Monday. We have our producing crew in the house today. It is Tyler Farringall in for Ray Diaz. The accepted nickname is Baby T. Robbie Triano joining us as well. And we also have Brandon Fryer helping out. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. It is Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertsch on our video crew today. This is Rahimi and Harris, and we have to pay Robbie $2.
Checks in the mail, Robbie. Checks
Where's
in the
my
mail.
Money, man?
I've got a dollar in my notebook, but I have to go home to get you the other dollar.
Interesting.
I don't carry cash in the city, man.
No, I usually have cash on me. I can't find the cash in my bag.
If only there's a whole weekend to get that money. Huh?
It wasn't a whole weekend. There was yesterday. You acted like the series. When did he text us the third inning yesterday?
It was 2-0.
Yeah, he was very confident at 2-0, which unfortunately kind of gives you an indication that even Robbie knew the Cubs offense was not going to produce in the way we needed it to. Add in the fact that it was a Sunday where we know they've had issues. And either way,
bring me my money.
He's in his bag now.
The bigger point is we're going to look at this, I think, the exact way we should. Yes, Craig Council can say it's a series in June and you can downplay the importance of it. But once again, there are some truths about your team being told. And this is the time to figure it out before you can't make a decision about your roster anymore. And before you want to play another team that's trying to contend, like, say, the Phillies coming up.
What I love about this, and I'm not worried about the Phillies. Why? Because they've lost five straight, nine of the last 10. And they can't score any runs. And Bryce Harper's on the IL. Okay, now that I've got that out of the way.
No, I'm still going to pay attention to them.
No, I'm paying attention. Like, they have guys who are capable of pitching every now and again, like the guy who's on the mound tonight. But back to this series, and the Cubs got beat by the Tigers kind of in the fashion that you would expect a team to beat the Cubs that doesn't have a great offense. They were just better at everything in terms of the fundamentals on defense, pitching, and offense. And Detroit showing you why, even though their offense is slightly plus, not great, but not bad, this is how they win games. They give you great pitching, and then they do all the right things otherwise.
And I think our question becomes, simply, after losing a series against the Tigers, why weren't the Cubs as good? Because I would argue that, yes, these were the two best teams in baseball based on record. But I think if you put the Tigers, for example, in the NL West, they're not going to have the best record. So knowing that, and knowing what they're bringing to the table, knowing that they didn't have the same type of offense the Cubs had, that they did, though, have strong pitching and strong defense, especially from their starting pitching. That still should not have resulted, I think, in the Cubs dropping 2-3. I still think they had multiple chances to not only win this series, but then there were moments in the games where you're saying to yourself, this is where it turned. The aggressive sends from third base cost them, and really at times where they didn't have to do that.
Looking at what you're talking about when you say aggressive sends, I don't have a problem with an aggressive send every now and again, depending on the situation, the score, who you're playing against. Maybe you can put the hammer down on a team early. Maybe you can close the door on them late. It's the confusion of, hey, I'm the third base coach. I'm telling you to go. Oh, but wait, hold up. And at that point, you're out. And if you have Pete Crow Armstrong, the base runner in question, following those commands, it's inexcusable, because you've got to know your personnel coming around second, and that has to dictate, I've got to make a surefire call. If there's any hesitation either way, you're doing Pete Crow Armstrong and your team, the Cubs, a disservice, and that's what we saw from Quentin Berry.
Right. On Friday, the Cubs lose 3-1. We see the poor send involving PCA. They lose that ball game, and you could argue that changes the entire game. If you keep him and you just wait for the next result to happen, which you know in your lineup is likely going to be something to send him home. And then additionally, yesterday, I don't know that it would have made as much of a difference in a 4-0 loss, but Ian Happ is out after, an aggressive send, and Ian Happ is slower than PCA, as we all know. I don't think that's a secret here for anybody. He gets called out at the plate. Craig Counsell challenges it. And for whatever reason, I believe that umpire took it as an insult because he was already so sensitive already. Nico Hoerner then tells him in the fifth inning that he had a bad day. And then you see exactly how that played out. Nico gets ejected. Craig Counsell goes up there, gets his money's worth. He gets ejected. And we are talking about events that happened that we shouldn't be discussing in a meeting of two teams that were the best in baseball by record at the time.
So that's why I think it was so unfortunate that Ian Happ gets thrown out in that situation, because while it is just one run, it is also an extra out. And who knows what they might have been able to come up with off Jack Flaherty in that situation if Ian Happ's not thrown out in the plate at that situation. You've got the heart of your order coming up. You feel good about where they are, but then all of a sudden now you're in trouble. It's funny because Ryan Spielborgs joined us right before he called that first game of the series on Apple TV. And Spielborgs told us exactly what to expect from Cubs versus Tigers, teams with two excellent records going head-to-head.
Series is going to be defense and base running. Tigers are the best base running team in the sport as far as going first to third, second to home on you. They just are extremely, extremely aggressive. Good teams do that. And when you have those type of base running, and it's like I bet you I could ask you guys to name four people on the Tigers starting lineup and you might get two. Like it's been amazing to see how this offense is constructed. And you'd be like, wait, that guy went first to third. Wait, that guy went first to third. So it just puts so much pressure on you defensively.
So this is what's interesting about it. The way he described the Tigers in real time when he was saying, I was like, hey, the Cubs are no slouches. They're a team that's third in the league in stolen bases. Do you know who's dead last in the league in stolen bases? Dead last. The Detroit Tigers. They've stolen 24 bases all year compared to the 82. But then I saw it over the course of a three-game series, just how good and consistent the Tigers are when it comes to defense, throwing guys out, base running, making things happen with runners in scoring position. The margin for error was just so small, and that's how the Tigers have been able to build the record that they have, is by playing against teams and just being better in those small things that might not seem that small, but they were large, especially when you consider the fact that the Cubs, all week long, they only had six stolen bases. And if you go back and look at the runners in scoring position, the Cubs, 1-for-8. The Tigers, 1-for-5 in game one. That's not a huge margin. They had more opportunities, actually, than the Tigers did with runners in scoring position.
If you give your team extra outs, as we've seen, even with the Cubs and the better teams in baseball, you're going to pay. And that's what happens. The Cubs not only gave away their own outs, as we saw, but then the Tigers take advantage of the margins that they need. So that's my issue with this, is that no matter how you look at it, like the poor base running errors and unfortunately, I think the aggressive send, you know, that combined, and that is what a playoff series is like. We are talking about these finer points that end up being the difference in the game. Unfortunately, part of that is because offensively, they didn't score many runs, as we know. You get beat 3-1, you win 6-1 on Saturday. Nobody's complaining about that. But in the losses, you have an idea of how they're going to lose, and they get shut out on Sunday, and that's something that has also been incredibly infrequent for this team, except it happened twice in a week. They struggle on Sunday, they get shut out 4-0, and then they also had that loss to Mackenzie Gore and the Nationals 2-0 on Wednesday. So, and that's what gives me a little bit of pause, because you're finally seeing are some of these streaky hitters going into their not hot streaks.
Well, we go back to the question, can the Cubs keep this up 6 runs a game for a whole season, or even 5.5 runs a game for a whole season? The answer is probably no. But at the same time, you just thought that they would come up bigger in those situations. So going back to the fact that they were 2-for-16 in the series with runners in scoring position, that's a great stat, right? But here's the thing. The Tigers were only 3-for-19. It wasn't like they were so much better. But when your pitching is on point, when you're not making mistakes running the bases, that's the difference between two good teams playing each other. It's the small, small things.
Well, especially you'd think that both teams would know that, especially when one's offense sputters as it can. This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is the quote that I think on Friday from Craig Counsell that is valid in this. He says, "A Quittenberry, if Q could do it over, I think he'd keep his eyes on Pete a little bit in addition to the play. He thought that there was maybe a chance to score. If Pete is coming, Pete saw it the other way." That was on Friday. And then on Sunday, we see what happened with Hap.
Yeah, I think the thing that happened Friday was the miscommunication that can't happen on the base pass. If you send a guy and he's out, that's different. I mean, to be fair, they reviewed the play at home. It was an aggressive send, yes. I didn't have nearly as much problem with that as I did specifically with what happened with Pete Crow Armstrong and Quentin Berry, because that honestly just can't happen at this. It's not like we're in spring training, right? You should be in a good rhythm with your individual base runners, knowing your personnel, as they say, KYP, KYP. And with the Ian Happ thing, the only thing that gives me pause is, You got other guys coming up. You're in a good position before you get him thrown out at the plate.
I just think it's one thing to go first to third. It's another to go second to home when you know guys have cannons in the outfield. Like that was, and I know there's a lot of people on our text line, 312-644-6767, talking about how the onus there was on PCA slowing down. And yeah, at that point, you have to either aggressively go or you aggressively stop. You know, either way, but they caught you sleeping, and that's really the bottom line. Now, how much did the challenge affect Derek Thomas? I think it did, because it was right in front of him. But that doesn't mean that you have the right on Sunday to eject Nico Horner the way he did.
Let's go back, though. If you go back to Doug Eddings being the home plate umpire, it just wasn't a good week for officiating in Detroit. Now, Robbie Triano will argue with me and say it was a great week for officiating.
Man, Doug Eddings basically gave that strike zone was about the size of Lake Superior.
It wasn't even that it was the size of Lake Superior. It seemed to be in flux.
It was like outside, down, away.
It was inconsistent, and it was everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't really like bad. It's one thing if, like, hey, I know we're playing with a loose strike zone today. But another thing is, oh, that pitch is a strike, and that pitch is a ball. Well, no. If that pitch 2 or 3 inches off the plate is going to be a strike to one hitter, it's got to be a strike to the next hitter or the other team, more importantly.
Also, what do people always tell us? Hitters will always tell us, just let us know what it is.
Yes.
Just let us know what the strike zone is supposed to be. And that's not even acknowledging the new part of this in Major League Baseball where they have, what is it, the inch and a half now around the strike zone is the common discussion for the margin. But that was not what was happening on Friday, for sure. That was especially outside. I just thought, like, some of the outside pitches, I'm like, that is several inches off of the plate and high. Like, how are you getting away with this? And even Chipper Jones, I noticed, commented on Twitter. Chipper's been a little more baseball commentary-y, I feel like, this past couple of weeks.
As he should be. I love when former players weigh in. Like, hey, look, you don't have to get them, like, on a podcast doing their thing. Yo, just tweet what you see. Tweet what you see as a former base, as a Hall of Fame former baseball player. That's what I like to see.
Well, and yeah, I want to see it because he added the Rob Friedman pitching ninja video. Not only one of the worst umpires in the league going on for 2 decades, but consistently one of the most confrontational, toxic combination.
Listen,
but it is a ridiculous, if you watch this video over and over again and you see all of the pitches that are out of the zone. It's pretty funny.
Talking about a rough weekend for the Cubs in Detroit. They dropped 2 out of 3. It's not like they got swept. It's not like they got blown out. It's just noticing that the devil really is in the details when you're playing against another top caliber team, an elite team. And I think the strike zone thing, it kind of gets illustrated with Jack Flaherty because it wasn't just the play where Nico gets thrown out of the game, which is ridiculous, by the way. If that's what we're doing with umpires, if umpires are throwing people out for just saying, hey, you're having a bad day, if that's where we are, we're in trouble.
Who is the guy last year who threw Aaron Boone out because a fan said something?
Right.
That
I remember
that. Pathetic.
It was coming from behind the dugout. He thought it was coming from the dugout. And he was like, nobody said anything. What are you talking about?
My favorite part was when it got reposted on social media. All the people who didn't even notice that the fan was the one who said it, they also made the same mistake. And I'm like, that's where we are. That time it was 2024. We are definitely there in 2025. But I think we all thought the same thing after this series concluded. Like, at what point do the robotic strike zones become far and away better than whatever we saw, especially on Friday?
Here's my point on the Sunday game specifically with Flaherty on the mound. In all of his starts so far this year, 13, Jack Flaherty, he's been good, right? He hasn't been great, but he's been good. He's been better of late. He had 10 strikes swinging in that game, which is a good mark. Double digits.
Yeah.
He's been pretty consistent about being in the 9 to 12 range most of the time. His strikes looking, he went and jumped up from 16 in his previous start to 24 against the Cubs because the calls weren't even making it. So Kyle Tucker strikes out later in that game. And one of the reasons Kyle Tucker strike out is because it's like, I don't know what I'm doing because you just called this strike two and it's clearly not a strike. I don't want to get thrown out like Nico did because I know if I say anything, you're going to throw me out because that's the precedent. And so then he takes a strike three, which was actually a strike on the corner because he's like, He has a profile. He strikes out less than he walks, but you've messed with his profile because you can't give me a consistent strike zone.
Which, I mean, if this is the ump show and ego is what matters in scoring, you know, in ball games now, there's invisible ump points that we're all trying to score at home, then by God, you know, that objective was absolutely hit. But in this case, this is an actual ball game where you shouldn't affect the game at all, except in your accuracy.
We got a couple of umps in Derek Thomas and now Doug Eddings who are vying to be the number one pick in next year's fantasy ump draft. That's what we have right now. And I would say this, don't draft him at all. It is far and away been proven by this series. If you're a Cubs fan, if you're a Chicago baseball fan, this series has cemented one thing. Bring on the ABS. Bring on the challenge system. If not full-on automatic robo-umps. Like I think we're headed to robo umps. I don't think that's happening like next year, but I know the commissioner, Rob Manfred, has already said what you saw in spring training and 60% of the spring training games with the challenge system, which if you've been in the minor leagues the last 4 years, you know how it works, right? I think that's coming to baseball next year, and the point was proven as to why it's needed in baseball immediately. They could get this thing for the second half of the season or the postseason. I know they can't because the CBA and everything. They should.
If you're a Major League umpire and your job is on the line, don't give them more ammunition to make sure it's eliminated. And both of those instances show you why the automatic strike zone should happen. There is no way that was a valid ejection. And that's embarrassing for everybody involved. Your ego took over at that point, Derek Thomas, and it should not have. You end up looking soft. We know your name for reasons we don't want to. You look weak. And then you also just proved to MLB that umpires shouldn't be in the positions they're in.
Listen, I want to go a little deeper into why the people who are against the ABS and are against the challenge system and really are against robo-umps in the future, they're wrong, Layla. They're wrong. They need to just go take their head out of the sand, stop yelling at the clouds, and just get with the times. Evolve or die.
I like this point by 616. Bad strike zones by umpires are killing important games. I would agree with that. There's been too many times where we've talked about them in pivotal games in baseball. Too many times. We have more to come here on 670 The Score. It's Raheem and Harris. We want to talk about the Cubs against the aces that we have seen so far. Good example was last week with Mackenzie Gore and also Tarek Skubal. We will discuss, examine, and more with the Phillies coming up next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If anything, it kind of highlights a lot of the stuff we've been doing to win baseball games, right? And how hard it is to win games, and that you got to play really good baseball to win major league games. But you throw that in, and then them making some plays, and you know, you kind of hat tip them. They beat us tonight.
That's Craig Counsell talking about how the Tigers shut them out 4-0 after the game on Sunday. Now the Cubs get ready for a series with the Phillies. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Tyler Farengel and Robbie Triano and Brandon Fryer are a producing crew. And I think that we still need to focus on the issue of what happened yesterday when it came to Nico Hoerner and the ejection. Not that they were going to win or lose the ballgame on it, but again, these are the moments that not only changed the entire complexion of that game, but as you mentioned, if you think Kyle Tucker is different at the plate and not doing what he normally does because now he's scared of getting ejected, that is a huge problem. So I know we've got the audio from Marquee from the game itself as to Nico and the exchange with the umpire, Derek Thomas. So let's take a listen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's really that often you can verbatim say to the press afterwards, like, what got you thrown out? So I said, you're having a really bad day.
Yeah, so he says what he said was, you're having a really bad day. That's all he said. And there was no back and forth. There was no response from the umpire. The response was a physical one, as in he took his arm and threw him out of the game. And that was unacceptable. It was a big spot because Dansby Swanson had just gotten one of the four hits on the day for the Cubs.
Woo!
Swanson had two of them, by the way. And on a 2-2 count, he gets called out in a big spot. We know how good Nico Hoerner, coming into that bat, Layla, he was batting 400 with runners in scoring position. And now you've just taken away one of those opportunities. And remember, they were few and far between. I'll remind you, 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position on Friday. They didn't get a runner in scoring position on Saturday, but they had 5 home runs, so it didn't matter.
Right.
And then 1-for-8 again. And the one, by the way, was the hit that got Ian Happ thrown out at the plate.
It was also not only catastrophic from a hit standpoint in that they only got 4 for the total game, but that Ian Happ was 0-for-3, Kyle Tucker was 0-for-3, Seiya Suzuki in left field was 0-for-4. So your DH, right field, left field, all 0-for. That's a combined 0-for-10. It was PCA who had a hit in the game, as we know. And then Carson Kelly, 0-for-3. I know you want to get into that in a second. But let's also hear what Craig Counsell had to say, because he came out to argue the Nico Hoerner ejection, which he should have. And then I was thinking to myself watching it, I'm going, Craig's getting ejected here.
It has
like,
to.
He's the most mad I've seen him. Now, that's going from, say, 0 to 10.
You know, not 100.
Like, not 100. He's at like maybe 20. We'll say he's at 20% of the anger. But still, for him, that was a lot. And let's hear what he had to say.
Yeah, he didn't like what Nico said, but it's, you know, it just, Nico's walking by. What he said is not, you know, it's not ejectable. And you don't just eject players and change lineups and things like that. The ejection of Nico was completely unwarranted, and there's nothing that was said that warrants an ejection. And you can't eject players and affect outcomes of games for no offense.
Can you share what Nico said?
Not ejectable. No swearing, no cussing, walking away, not standing and arguing, nothing. Stands and argues, gives him a warning, fine, nothing.
You're having a bad day is a really funny thing to say, though, because the way he said it,
it was a matter of fact. It was just like he was making, it's like, just like you observed that that was a strike when really it was a ball, I'm going to observe that you're having a bad day. Now, you can disagree with me, but my opinion stands. And I think this is the gateway to helping people understand why, if you look at what's been going on with tennis for a decade and a half now, mm-hmm. with Hawkeye, right? The way that works with the cameras and everything else, they've got it figured out in tennis. And it wasn't an overnight thing. And they've been figuring it out in baseball since, what, 2019, when they said independent league, we're going to start doing this and see how it looks. And then they've slowly amped it up to the fact that the last 4 seasons, they've had this challenge system where 2 times a game, you can challenge. And if you are correct, you get to keep the challenge. It's a simple system. We saw how seamless it is in real time during spring training. You just tap on the helmet. And think about how these games might have gone different if Nico Hoerner, when that pitch happened, can just tap on the helmet. Now, what's crazy to me is that there are people who are just not smart enough to understand that technology can help aid and improve the game.
What? This is baseball. Are you kidding? they've been resisting technology for decades.
But that's the thing. They'll say, there's a certain charm to the human element being able to have an impact on the game. No. If there's balls and strikes, and there's a strike zone that has been determined, then let's ride with that and let technology aid and make sure we get the right call every pitch. And if you disagree with that, I say, what is wrong with you? This isn't about, well, I'm a baseball purist, and I think that umpires should have an effect. It takes some of the charm out of the game. Charm what? Get it right. Get it right. Get it tight. Especially when you have sports gambling as prevalent as it is now and endorsed by all the leagues in partnership with the sports gambling models.
Yeah, this isn't about charm. This is about accuracy. And that's the most important part, especially with more and more money that is now riding on games. It's not just because of that part of it. I'm not talking about just gambling. I'm talking about player salaries. I'm talking about TV rights deals. Like, there has never been a time where each pitch has cost more per ball game than now. And we're talking about Kyle Tucker making over $500 million in his next contract.
Not a small amount of money.
And you can't figure out a strike zone. There's a machine that can do it better than you, and you're showing us day in and day out why that's the case.
And
do the Cubs benefit from some calls? Sure. But when it's this bad and it's two teams who have earned their keep and the right to have an evenly called game, this is unacceptable. And even with the ejection discussion, once again, nobody's saying anything about what happened on the send, you know, on Ian Happ being ruled out. They challenged it. They lost. Okay, fine. But when it comes to the umpire's emotions getting into this and there's no accountability, it's unacceptable. The only way there is being shamed publicly on social media, and that shouldn't be the case. I don't know. I understand that we are all probably going to lose our jobs to AI at some point or another, but we're at least trying to slow down that pace, and I don't necessarily know that that's happening with umpiring.
My point is that the same way they told you the self-checkout was going to help restructure, and we're not going to fire people. We're just going to have them doing other things that make our organization run more efficiently. If you're at a drugstore or you're at a convenience store, whatever, I think the same thing comes into play. I think the umpires will still be out there umpiring. They will just be technology aided. And when I say robo-umps, I don't mean replace the umpire behind the plate. I mean, for balls and strikes, just let that be. You could still yell out ball, strike, whatever, but now you've got something there to help make sure you get the right call every time.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm a bit concerned that in this case, they might have an issue with ego, even that, you know, somebody else has to be independent here to be able to call it off and say, you know, you were wrong and it's okay. Like, just tell us what the call really should be and go from there. Like, that's the other issue, is you can't tell me that ego didn't play into Nico Horner's ejection. It absolutely did. So are you going to be too proud to say that you were wrong on the balls and strikes?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with Derek Thomas specifically with that, because it was one of the shortest hooks I've ever seen. And especially when you find out what was actually said, you're having a bad day. It's tough to rectify.
Number one for me is Aaron Boone getting ejected because of a fan comment. That is my number one. Like, nothing will ever be that atrocious.
At least that time, though, it was like the same fan heckling. And he finally was like, I've had enough out of you. You're gone. And he's like, but I didn't say anything. And he's like, well, somebody over there did. And it turned out it was somebody from behind the dugout.
Like, on no planet was that even remotely accurate.
That's why warnings exist. That's why Nico Horner should have been giving a warning, if anything. I don't even know if he should be given a warning based on knowing what he said. But that's part of the problem. But the other problem is Craig Counsell needs to take a long, hard look. As he's done many times before, it's time for him to adjust his lineup for this next series. Layla, based on what you're saying about guys not doing what needed to be done against aces, if you will. They got another one on the mound tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they do. And Zach Wheeler, I appreciate this text from the text line, 262. If there was any debate that auto umps or at least challenges were on the way, this ended it. Two of the top teams in the sport, big weekend series, showcase for baseball. And the umps behind the plate Saturday and Sunday were terrible. I watched the condensed and some other videos. So many wrong calls that weren't even close. How are these guys that bad and they made it to the show? And then umps in general are too easily offended or become confrontational and do things that impact the game. Don't get me wrong, the guy was bad for everyone, but Nico shouldn't have been tossed. He shouldn't have been out. Way to promote the sport and attract fans. On to the next. And that's the point here. Like, nobody goes to see the ump show.
The way Pat Hughes described it was perfect. He said it was just a great weekend for baseball. Three straight sellouts, two teams playing well. It had all of the energy of a big-time series, or at least as big-time a series you can have in early June. And that's what's great about baseball is when teams are playing well and fans are interested, they show up to the park, it changes the vibe of the whole thing. We saw it Friday night with the White Sox. Same thing. It changes the vibe of the ball game.
We're talking about the White Sox in the next segment, by the way, for people who want to know. So that's next. Because yes, the Sox did have a great series. Friday night was amazing.
It was beyond amazing because, well, we'll get into it next segment, but Kyle Till did his thing. And I think the other thing is, with this Phillies team that's coming up, the reason why the lineup needs to change and the main thing that needs to happen is Matt Shaw needs to be up in the lineup.
Yes.
He hit .318 this week, or last week, I should say. He was one of the guys who did not have a bad week. Other guys had a bad week. And that's not just against the Tigers, but that's against the Tigers and the Nationals. You go up and down the line, Carson Kelly, 2-for-16. Dansby Swanson, 5-for-23. And that's 5-for-23 includes the two hits he had yesterday. So he actually came around and got a multi-hit game yesterday. Kyle Tucker, 3-for-16 with a .629 OPS. I don't know if his finger's still bothering him, Layla.
Yeah.
From the base stealing incident where he jammed his right ring finger. Nico Hoerner, 3-for-22 with a .310 OPS over the last six games. And Seiya, yes, he did have two home runs in a game, but he also went just 5-for-23.
Yeah, Seiya was 0-for-4 on Friday. For example, Tucker, you mentioned on Friday, and the other loss, the 3-to-1 loss, Kyle Tucker was 2-for-4. He had that double, but still, went 1-through-4, and that's the Friday game I'm looking at, combined for three hits total. That's not good. 3-for-16 out of 1-through-4 on Friday. As we mentioned yesterday, only four hits as a team. It's something we've seen before, but you don't do yourself any favors when either you're getting run on the base pass and you get the outs coming to you at third base. That's terrible. You make an aggressive send, you run home like Ian Happ did the other day. These are the mistakes you can't make when you know that you're not hitting. Sometimes you know as a team that you're just not hitting much in the game. That doesn't mean that everything else goes by the wayside. We also want to remind you, by the way, we talked a lot about Nico Hoerner. He will join Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer this afternoon at 2:30. That is your afternoon show. So you're getting a special de facto Take the North show this afternoon on The Score. Coming up next, as we mentioned, we are going to talk about the White Sox because they did have a great series over the weekend. They also had some massive news that broke last week. Marshall and I were here for it. So a bigger look at that, as well as a deeper look at what happened in the series and the baseball that occurred in a debut that went really, really well. That's all next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Raheemy and Harris.
Who is calling on our Score hotline? It's brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois.
Who calling?
Hey! Ozzy.
You have been very great news. To see you got your own show, you earn it, you deserve it, now you have it.
Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.
Slaps this one the other way, it's gonna fall. Kyle Teal will pick up his first big league hit. Chase Mydrop, high towering fly ball to left field, at the wall, and this one gets out. Tim Elko puts a charge into this one. Back it goes in center. It is gone! Tim Elko.
Future.
How about that? The Sox taking 2 of 3 from the Royals over the weekend. That was CHSN. John Triffin on the call. This is Raheemy and Harris on the Score. The Sox had everything go their way on Friday night. Mexican Heritage Night is a huge night for the White Sox. They had a really great giveaway. The jersey was really cool. Shout out to Jorge Mad Jazz, the DJ who was DJing. He's pretty popular. So the vibes were immaculate, and then the Sox backed it up with a huge 7-2 win. Then they went 4-1 on Saturday, and they came close on Sunday. They almost had a chance to win that game as well. Took it to the ninth inning, but ended up falling 7-5, rather. And I think when you talk about the progress, Marshall, that's evident in what we saw this past weekend. You can't really argue with being able to challenge a Royals team that we know is expected to be a playoff contender and do it in the way they did.
Couple of things here. Number one, the White Sox had a better week than the Cubs, straight up.
Yeah.
They split with the Tigers in a 4-game series, and they took 2 out of 3 against the Royals. And to your point about making progress. Progress can simply be measured in how they looked against the Royals versus their first series earlier this season in Kansas City. It was a 4-game series. They got swept, and it wasn't like they got swept and it was blowouts. There was one blowout. The fourth game of that series, 10-0 they get beat. But in the first game, they got beat 3-0. The pitching was fine. They just didn't have offense. Second game, they got beat 4-3. Again, right there, they lose by one run. Third game, they lost 2-1. They lose by one run. This time, though, we saw the offense explosion, and I think there was just a vibe because of Mexican Heritage Night at the ballpark. People, I was over at ABC 7, right? And I get a, they tell me, my producer tells me, he goes, Mike says, hey, Dion and them are having troubles getting to the game because they're already out there tailgating in full force at the time the clubhouse opens, which we know is 3.5 hours before the game.
So that's 3:30.
Yeah, it was already lit. Like, so if you're a ball player and you're pulling up to the ballpark and the party's already going on before you get there as a ball player, that's when you know it's going to be a good night. They had the fireworks going 7-2.
Yes, you better bring it. And just the right people hitting too. It was also the debut for Kyle Teal. This was very anticipated, as we know. And first game, he gets that nice solid single, and you know, he's able to get on base. That was nice to see as well. Just get it out of the way, collect the ball on a wonderful night in a 7-2 win. So good things happening all the way around when it came to that. And then they carried it over, you know, on Saturday, they end up winning as well. And then they really did challenge in that ninth inning. We were all watching after the Cubs game ended to see whether or not the White Sox were going to be able to pull it off and possibly get the sweep. I mean, that is a great thing we're talking about all the way around.
Just to be in the position of a sweep. And this is the White Sox who come into this series, and with that first win, for the first time all season, they win 3 games in a row. Okay? They're one of very few teams who had not won three games in a row. The Rockies won three games in a row before the White Sox did.
The Rockies took that Scottie Scheffler graphic personally.
They actually did. Since the graphic, they immediately won three straight games right after the graphic.
Which one are they taking more personally, that or the Naperville Topgolf arrest?
They might be taking the log of Naperville Topgolf.
I still believe
Topgolf
in Naperville Topgolf. I still think that
may be
the move.
Guys, we need more crime. Bump those numbers up. We got to beat the Rockies.
But to your point, Layla, about Kyle Teal, it wasn't the fact that he just got his first hit. He showed kind of a framework of the type of players that the Sox have promoted this season, whether you want to talk about Chase Mydroth, whether you want to talk about Edgar Caro, even Tim Elko, although his profile is a little different as a hitter. It's boom or bust, or at least it has been so far.
Well, and he boomed over the weekend.
So Kyle Teal, he gets the hit, but he also walks twice. So he's getting on base. Very next day, 2 for 4.
Right.
Like, he's showing you, I'm fun, we're about to have some fun, and the Sox look like a Major League Baseball team, a competitive Major League Baseball team. Remember, the Royals have dominated the Sox over recent years, but here they are winning 2 out of 3, and when you back in that with the 2-2 record against the Tigers early in the week, it was maybe as good a week as the White Sox have had this season.
I agree. I don't know how you look at it any other way. And I know that, yes, the Royals are not contending right now. I'm not saying that. But there's only a game and a half that separates them from the Twins, who are in second place in the Central. So when you consider where the Tigers are, I still think that that is their expectation as a team. And either way, this is just not the discussion that we were having last year when it came to having the attitude and just the expectation for the White Sox. The expectation was not that you could win a series at home and do it in this way, or call up somebody and that they were going to actually produce the same day. I still don't always believe that. But for Kyle Teal to be able to do that, you've got your two top catching prospects up now in Edgar Caro and Teal. That's massive. That's talent. That's a rotation. You know, you're able to develop players. And that is not something that we thought we were going to see. And they have confidence in that, too, because of what you're seeing out of Miguel Vargas day to day. He continues to not only hit well and knock the ball out of the park, but he also is such a story about their development. Like, it's one thing to develop somebody and then to have that improvement, and it's another thing to sustain it. And I feel like he's been sustaining it as well.
So everything that's needed to happen for the Sox as far as development, outside of obviously what happened out of spring training with Colson Montgomery, has kind of gone their way. And it's not just the hitting. Obviously, the pitching has been better. And they've been able to go out and get these guys, whether it was the Rule 5 draft pick and Shane Smith, who will start tonight in their game against Houston, against Lance McCullers Jr. And it's not just Adrian Houser, who they got off the proverbial scrap heap.
Well, they're off today, right? They've got the day
I meant
off.
Tomorrow, sorry. Yeah. Tomorrow against Lance McCullers Jr.
That's baseball. We never know what day it is.
I just think right now they have a chance to really start doing some things. In their last five series, they're 2-2-1. In that they've won two series, they've lost two series, and of course, there's the four-game split with the Tigers. Now they have an opportunity, albeit against better competition. The Astros are in first place in the AL West. So if you do it against them, this little Texas two-step that they're doing with the Astros and the Rangers, if you come out 3-3, however you want to do it, I'm with
That's optimistic.
It's a large order, but at some point you got to take steps forward. Let's see, because the pitching has been good enough. Now they've got a pitching injury. That's why they had to go bullpen game yesterday with Mike Vassell, their other Rule 5 pick. But I think the groundwork is laid. The stage has been set for something to happen. What you don't want to see is what's happened the last two times I've talked like this, which is the Cup Series and the Orioles Series.
Yeah, that's where it gets a little tricky. I'm not even going that far. I'm not going to try to ask for some record next week.
Oh, no, I am. Expectations are good.
Yeah, I will also say this, though. The fact that we asked what the Tigers were doing in that four-game set, getting ready for the Cubs at home, that's playoff baseball management by A.J. Hinch. That's how you do it. You take it on the chin against a team who you know you probably can beat. I mean, I hate to be that blunt about it. That doesn't discredit what the White Sox are doing. They still went out there and won the games that they were supposed to. So
took them 10 innings, credit, but they got it done.
But credit to all involved there, because the Tigers knew that was a possibility. A.J. Hinch knew what he was doing. Gets his 1-2 ready for a matchup with the Cubs because he's seeing this as a playoff preview. That guy's won a World Series. So you see what happens. He manages thusly, and now we're talking about the results that we've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, credit to Tyler Alexander, by the way. Who's his Uber driver? I need that guy. Gets the call.
If it was really 90 minutes from the Milwaukee to the south side,
it is
he
not.
Must have been South Milwaukee.
It is not 90 minutes.
A southern Milwaukee suburb.
It's 90 miles, maybe, but it's not 90 minutes.
For people who don't know, he was picked up by the White Sox and immediately got in an Uber and was at the ballpark and pitched that night.
Yeah, I was going to mention that part. It's just hilarious. Like, I love that he gets the call, and that day, like Batman, he's able to get called and then goes into action the way he did. That was very impressive, to say the least. We have more to come here on Raheemy and Harris on the Score. A big guest is joining us to preview the Cubs and Phillies series. Former Phillies general manager, World Series winner Ruben Amaro Jr. is next.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.